The Church of God, the Eternal, presents Janice and Jambrees, a message given by Mr. John Brisby, for the night to be much observed, April 22nd, 2024.
It's an honor and a pleasure to address you on this beginning of the first high day of Unleavened Bread, this special occasion that God called the night to be much observed. Why is it a night to be much observed? Well, and by tradition in this little remnant group, Mr. Raymond Cole used to give a sermonette just as a reminder of what this means, so that we're not just going through the physical motions of eating a meal together, but that we're thinking about what God has in mind about this night and its significance for you and me spiritually. So on the Passover night, last night, I mentioned to you the significance of recognizing the true Christ as opposed to the many counterfeits that are out there. Well, on the night to be much observed, we also have a significance of counterfeits, because an immediate test for ancient Israel in Egypt was being faced with the deception of counterfeits. Now we're going to begin in 2 Timothy 3, verse 8, because here the Apostle Paul was inspired to reference something that happened with ancient Israel. Here, 2 Timothy 3, verse 8, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. We're talking about some historical event which took place involving two characters named Jannes and Jambres. And it says they withstood Moses. I wonder who they were. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs, meaning Jannes and Jambres, also was. Well, where in the Bible do we find it? Because I don't find anything in the Old Testament that talks about it. Character's name, Jannes and Jambres. Well, yeah, it's there. But it's Exodus 7. I'm going to read verses 8 through 12. But it has to do with the work that God did through Moses and Aaron in the preparatory work to bring Israel out of Egypt, which is, of course, the meaning of this night. Here in Exodus 7, verse 8, we read, the eternal spoke unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you. So human beings always want evidence physically, right? They want to see a miracle. Then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Eternal had commanded, and Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called. So you think, well, they wanted to see a sign, they wanted to see a miracle. Well, Moses and Aaron did a miracle. Oh, well, that should have been enough evidence right then, right? Hardly. People who say they want miracles as proof, if you gave them a miracle, they still won't believe it. Even as Pharaoh didn't believe it. Verse 11, then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. No, they're not named, but it's none other than Jannes and Jambres that was referenced in 2 Timothy 3. Those were two of the names of these Egyptian sorcerers. Pharaoh called also the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments. Now they're doing it through counterfeit miracles, deception, sorcery inspired by Satan the devil, not from the Spirit of God. Obviously, God has permitted it. It's a power that they could not wield if God did not permit it, but God, for reason, allows counterfeits to exist. Verse 12, for they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. So they copied exactly the work of Moses and Aaron. Supposedly, Moses is substantiated through the proof of this miracle. Well, the counterfeits just turn around and copy it. And then the water's still muddied, isn't it? How do you know what's true and what's fake? Because it appears that either one of them or both of them might be true. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rod. So ultimately, God, you see, will make clarification, as he did here, because the one serpent that came from Aaron's rod, that serpent then swallowed up the other two so that they were no more. And so you find that the way God's mind works and the way he has always worked, he will allow confusion to exist because of counterfeits, but then ultimately he will resolve it. How did God defeat the counterfeits and bring Israel out of captivity? And here we find the story which leads us to the meaning of and the necessity of keeping this night to be much observed. So let's go to Exodus chapter 12, and I'll read this whole passage of verse 21 through 42 as I usually do. But very quickly in summary, Exodus 12, 21, Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Eternal will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Eternal will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. Verse 24, and you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when you be come into the land which the Eternal will give you according as he hath promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean you by this service? That you shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians and delivered thy houses. And the people bowed the head and worshiped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Eternal had commanded Moses and Aaron. So did they. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. So here is one way that God showed a distinction between his chosen people Israel and the Egyptians, the pagans, and those who represented counterfeit means to salvation. So it's one thing, you know, to have some apparent ability to show a miracle or a pseudo miracle and confuse people to knowing what is the truth and what is the error. It's another thing to see God's final intervention. And so who could argue with the fact that the Israelites were spared, but all of the Egyptians and even their animals, the firstborn of every beast and every human being, died that night? And that was something that Satan, Pharaoh, and his sorcerers could not copy. So God will ultimately prevail and show forth his power against every counterfeit. But for you and me, brethren, it's too late if we wait to see that fulfillment. He wants us to act in faith like the Israelites did that night, to actually follow his instructions so that they could be protected from the death angel. Verse 30, and Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Finally, Pharaoh is humbled by this 10th great plague. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go and serve the Eternal as you have said. He finally stopped fighting and quibbling, and he finally said, do what you want. I give up. Also, take your flocks and your herds, as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we be all dead men. Yes, they finally came to acknowledge that the God of Israel was going to kill them all if they didn't finally bow the knee to him and give this God what he was demanding through Moses and Aaron. that they were all in jeopardy of extinction. So finally, they thrust out these people. The people took their dough, verse 34, before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulder, and the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and the Eternal gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Sukkoth. So this was the next night, not the Passover night. That night they stayed indoors, according to God's instruction, when the death angel passed over. 24 hours later, synonymous with the night that you and I are keeping right now, the beginning of the first high day of unleavened bread. The children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Sukkoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men, besides children in a mixed multitude, went up also with them, and flocks and herds and very much cattle. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victual. Verse 40. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years, and it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day it came to pass, that all the host of the Eternal went out from the land of Egypt. So if anybody has any doubt that this God is working out a master plan according to a very specific schedule, if you think God is shooting from the hip or somehow amending or going to a plan B or a plan C, this should be one of the strong evidences against that. He is going to bring to fruition every purposeful part of his plan, and it will be done right on time, even as the exodus of ancient Israel happened to the day, according to this plan. So it's going to happen in our day. All the hosts of the Eternal went out from the land of Egypt. That's what unleavened bread, that's what this night to be much observed is all about. It's celebrating coming out of Egyptian slavery. Verse 42, it is a night to be much observed unto the Eternal for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Eternal to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. And that it means in our generations too right now. And so, my dear friends, that's why we're gathered tonight to eat a meal together. That's why we are celebrating before God, not just going through the physical motions, hopefully, in our minds. We're thinking about the significance of what a calling by God means to be able to come out of this world, spiritual Egypt, to come into a close relationship with a God who promises to be our defender, our provider, and our Savior, to worship before Him and to thank Him and to acknowledge Him in all things. And this night, even physically, with other brethren of like mind, to celebrate and to thank Him for all that this salvation plan includes for you and me. So yes, part of tonight's celebration includes our excitement about God's promise to defeat every deception and every counterfeit in this world. The deceitful enemies today are very strong. But the good news is our God is stronger, and our God will defeat them.
The Church of God, the Eternal, has just presented Janice and Jambres, a message given by Mr. John Brisby, for the night to be much observed, April 22nd, 2024.